Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Our fabulous producer has the week off, but we have one who's fabulous in his stead, and that is Mr. Matt Cotrillo, our good news director. He's over there, and he's going to be having a fabulous time taking good care of us, so we appreciate that. And On the Mark, Joe is here. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sun.
What a splendid intro that was.
Well, I try not to be too effusive. I know you don't like that.
I know. Well, effusive is one thing, brief is another, and minimalist is still a third.
I try to be terse and stoic.
Well, terse you have achieved, stoic never.
Joe's here. How about that?
That's satisfying.
Stoic. Stoic would be...
Stoic Joe, would be, Joe's here.
But that's how I feel.
Oh, Mark's here.
Yeah, well, Joe's back. We locked the front door, but he still has a key.
And I left a trail of breadcrumbs into the studio.
Did you? Okay. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more at sunburymotors.com. We invite you to do as many people have done over the years. That's visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That is where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or if you figure it out or they tell you your car is shot, guess what? You can get a brand new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln built to your precise specifications. You don't have to take just any car that you don't even really want. They would make sure you decide what it is that an ideal vehicle would have in it and what the ideal price tag would be, and they work with you to make sure that that happens. They have generous trade-ins, and they would just love to super serve you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln are their primary responsibilities, but they got some very high quality. I saw a really nice Chevy Sierra pickup truck there that's about 2 or 3 years old, but in absolutely perfect garage-kept condition. They got vans there, too, so if you're a worker man out there and your van is busted, they'll take good care of you, put you in a Ford Econoline van that'll super serve you for the decades ahead. Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln, though. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com. That's our sponsor. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. We are going to talk about President Trump's changes to the immigration policies yesterday. Some new definitions for some existing policies, I guess, that the president is promulgating that have gone through a comment period and are ready for implementation. So we can talk about that. We had one of the 85th District State House candidates here yesterday. Claire Moyer, the write-in candidate, was back. So he talked about his interests in running for office. The election is next Tuesday. We have invited all three to come back to be on our show either Friday or Monday. So we've heard from two of the candidates. We hope to hear from the last and then get that scheduled, and hopefully we'll get that all three candidates here for
it. But what if only two want to show up?
Well, that's their prerogative.
I thought we were the only way we're going to do this is if everybody was here.
If all three.
Otherwise, we're just giving more time to the two of the three people who've already been here.
Well, I think that would be good. They could talk to each other, so... You know, if it's the two men, they could talk to each other.
Jennifer, I don't like empty chair debates. You know, I don't think they do anything for you. They don't shed any light.
Well, I think we have two valid candidates who are running for office. They have an opportunity to talk about the important issues. In each of the cases when they were here, we did not get into all the issues that we can talk about. I'll try to make it. They've been offered Friday or Monday, so I'll try to make it Friday. I know you don't like it. Who knows if we're going to have an empty chair?
Well, I think it's good to have everybody here, but I don't think from what Mr. Rowe said that he's going to participate in any more.
He's done.
Well, I don't think he. I think he said that his time is better spent knocking on doors and talking to people directly.
Right. And he already has an opinion about his opponent, so he doesn't need to have them in the room for him to share that. He'll tell you no matter where you want to go. They do have a function tonight. The League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area having an event this evening with all three candidates invited and Mr. Rowe declining at the East Buffalo Township building. So up in the township building, they're having a function tonight.
Well, he said that the reason I think he said it here too, that the reason that he didn't participate is that they wanted an answer by a certain date and he couldn't give them an answer on that date.
Right, 2 weeks in advance. They invited him 4 weeks.
Why is that important? I mean, if you're going to come, here you are 2 days in advance saying that you're willing to set something up for all three candidates, and you're still waiting to see if they want to participate. Why does the League of Women Voters have a certain date by which they need a commitment?
Well, I guess they want to get the room set up and be aware of what they're doing. They certainly have publications and printed materials that relate to this. I don't think it's an arbitrary deadline. I think very few people do it as I do. I wanted to wait to issue the joint invitation until after all three had done their initial on the mark appearance,
right,
and then issue the invitations, which we did do overnight, so that happened. But I don't think it's an arbitrary deadline. But that's just me. I understand what you're saying, that, you know, why not just have a form, open it. If he shows up that night, he's in.
Right.
You know, put his name in the program. If he has an empty chair, so to speak,
then he's got an empty
chair.
That's
his prerogative. I understand what you're saying, but I think they're just a little bit more organized than that, and they did have a deadline, and that is part of the procedures.
So what does the deadline achieve, though? You just still didn't answer my question. I don't understand why the deadline was so important.
Just to prepare the printed material so you know what's happening. Prepare your moderator or
all
your
folks
are
discussing. All you do is you put out a report saying debate for the 85th State House seat invited. So-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so.
Okay. Well, why don't you ask them? I am not a leader of the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area, but I am a member.
Well, I figured you were.
and so is my lovely bride.
You don't look like a woman today, though.
Well, you don't have to be. See, this just shows you think small. You don't have to be.
Why not call it the League of Voters?
Well, maybe they will in the future on your suggestion. Joe suggested that they call it just the League of Voters, and I'll bet they'll switch to that.
I'm sure they'll be right out tomorrow morning to file the papers at the county courthouse.
But we can contact one of the good leaders of the League of Women Voters, Linda Harris, who has been in contact with us about this.
They do a good job organizing these things.
Absolutely, but you're the only critic. And David.
Well, I'm not a critic. I'm just saying I don't understand why they have to be so arbitrary about the date. There are ways around that if you want to make sure everybody can participate. I can understand wanting to know if everybody will be here.
I guess that's because you're used to working on tighter deadlines and sort of last-minute things and so on. There is an organization that has a great deal of tradition and fairness that they've established over the years, and one of which is that when you have a public forum, you issue the invitation, and then at some point somebody can decline or allow the deadline to lapse.
Mark, you know, debates have you seen me moderate over the years?
62.
A lot of them. You know, and I never get thrown by the fact if everybody's there, fine. If not, fine. But if you do your prep in advance, if you have your questions laid out and you know the issues and you want to talk about and, you know, that you're hoping to generate, as I like to say, light and not heat, you want to give people an opportunity to inform themselves and not just, you know, raise Cain, if you will, with one side or the other.
Are you going to do that speech again on Monday if they choose Monday?
No.
Oh, man. I love the heat versus light.
But it's still, it's a very, very good analogy for what you should be trying to do when you have one of these events.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just playing, now I gotcha, USOB, if we go back to Dr. Eric Burns' book from the 60s. It's an honest attempt to find out where the candidates stand, give them each a chance to talk about themselves. I don't like these debates where the candidates shoot at each other. You know, I don't learn anything from seeing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris beating each other over the heads or anyone else.
That first NBC debate.
Right.
Where they picked out all the things they knew they would fight about and asked them about them again.
Right. I mean, if you get a chance, I mean, a good moderator will ask a question, and if he sees a hole, will answer ask a follow-up question. You know, and many times, I hate to say it, but many times these political candidates don't actually answer the question you ask.
I'm shocked to learn.
You know, so you have to decide whether or not you can push them into an answer, yes or no, or if it's just not going to work out, and then you move on to the next question.
All right. Well, no.
If you're trying to be fair.
Let's hope they choose Monday so they can hear that speech and I have to endure it again. We also have a list of Harrisburg topics we can ask them.
I wouldn't repeat that for you if you bait me.
If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, I guess at the moment our topic is the fact that David Rowe declined to go to the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area function that is tonight, but he has been invited to our activity either Monday or Friday or Monday.
Well, let's say,
so we'll let you know what
out of curiosity,
says.
Let's say that David finds that his schedule tonight is clear,
okay.
That he could show up. But now he can't because he didn't say yes by the arbitrary deadline.
Well, I would
so
go.
Who benefits from that?
If I were him, I would go anyway and see if, A, they would invite him to serve on the panel, even though he didn't say in advance he was going to be there. And then, B, he can stand in the back row and during the question and answer period say, I'd like to remind everybody I am the Republican candidate. If you'd like to know about my important ideals on the topic of, let's say, minimum wage, you can see me afterward. In the meantime, I'd like each of these candidates to comment on minimum wage. I mean, he could do that.
I guess.
Some people would know him. So, and I would think that, I know that League, if they saw him in the back row, would introduce him because they do that with write-in candidates, people who are, you know, just emerging in political races. They all get introduced because they think the political process should be as vibrant and as
participatory.
Well, right, but with as many participants
as
possible, and that those bona fide participants are called out and given an opportunity to be recognized and sort of known to people who are the eager voters at these things.
Well, it's predicted to be an extremely low voter turnout simply because it's the only race and it's in the middle of summer near the end of vacation periods. So it's not likely to draw a large number of people here. I would think, and I'm just speaking, I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but Mr. Rowe, if he's out there talking to people who might vote and urging them to actually go out, that seems to me to be a better use of his time or any candidate's time than standing in front of a forum among people who are already going to vote. You know, and how many people are likely from the news coverage that the debate gets are likely to modify their opinion or their beliefs?
Well, who do you know that would spend time actually campaigning with citizens rather than go to a function where they can be seen by some already pretty motivated citizens?
But do you think anybody at the League of Women Voters tonight is going in there undecided?
Generally, at this late race, I would say probably most folks have a pretty informed opinion.
Right.
You could have just listened to WKOK. I understand that Mr. Rowe said he did a event in front of the Daily Items camera, so there would be a video sequence.
Well, as did
sequence.
Dr. Rager, and I think, I don't know whether
Claire Moyer did
or not.
I didn't
see it if he did.
But anyway, so the newspaper would have some activities.
Right.
The Standard Journal has interviewed them.
Right.
So
we've interviewed them.
And the League of Women Voters has a brief profile of them in a voter's guide that is available online and at various locations.
Okay. So from the standpoint of actually motivating people to vote, where do you think you would be better off spending your time?
Well, I would prefer a compare and contrast opportunity where you see all of the candidates. That would be ideal, but since Mr. Rowe's not on the panel tonight, you'd have to kind of fill that in. But I think you do best. You know, I know you like to generate more light than heat, but I think when candidates look across the table, they see the other one and they compare and contrast each other, I think you get a much better idea. When
really?
Fred Keller was running against Jennifer Rager Kay, the best forum they had was by the Susquehanna Valley Conservatives. When he said, I feel this way, and she says, well, here's why I don't feel that way, and here's why I do feel my way. And then he responded and said, that's fine, but in practical terms, you should look at it this way, because, you know, this is what the minimum wage would actually do, and I know this. You know, I worked in business.
Right.
And then she... So I think you get a clearer view on this, and that was the perfect example where either of those candidates would have made a good state representative. Of course, Fred Keller already was at that time, but it was an important opportunity for her to talk about the fact that she has deep knowledge about all of these things and can sort of go toe-to-toe, not to make it sound like a fight, but, that she can respond and has informed answers on all these topics, not the representative.
Yeah, all right.
So it really worked.
You make a good point.
Under those circumstances. But on the other hand, and this helped it, and this is what you hate to see, it wasn't a bitter dispute. He spoke for a short time. She responded within whatever that time frame was that they set up, and then he had a brief opportunity to still elaborate.
Well, usually, some of these rooms get packed with supporters who are there to cheer every time their candidate says something.
Go, Joe.
And boo every time the opponent says something. When I do one of those things, I tell them, if you're going to make comments from the audience, we're going to stop this thing. This isn't why we're here. Every candidate who does take part, I will agree with you on this, every candidate who does take part in one of these deserves to be treated fairly and provided an equal opportunity to express their views and opinions.
Well, they get that. Well, and likewise,
I'm sure the League of Women Voters will guarantee that.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. If you'd like to weigh in on this, Joe and I find it of some interest because he's moderated 62 debates and I've moderated 2. And I think, so we have a lot of experience. We have 64 years of experience of being at the front of these halls.
64 years of experience.
Well, mostly. Yeah. You have 62 of it.
I was doing them when I was 12 years old.
I have 2 years of it. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, one of our listeners sends us a note. They see President Obama's name at the top of that, so we'll assume that this is something to do with our current president. Let's see. Another information email that's from EB. Has President Trump's name in it. Another one says something about gun laws. Oh, the red flag laws. Okay. So those are our topics that our emailers have in mind. We do have some texts standing by, too, but we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see ya in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years.
75 months.
Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sorento.
Great for getting you through the central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today.
Value is back.
At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate and expires D31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. We've got a couple of emails.
Yes, we do. They're rather tough emails.
One is pretty harsh.
EB says, a truly shocking story broke over the weekend. It was revealed that the Trump administration knew since April that white supremacists were responsible for literally 100% of race-based acts of domestic terrorism in 2018, every single one. And how do they respond? By reducing or eliminating the funding for various programs aimed at combating white supremacist extremism, of course. That's right. They knew white supremacists were a significant threat in this country and actually made it easier for those people to get away with such terrorism. I'm sure this is all fine and dandy in the eyes of Trump supporters because they're racists. But I can't wait to hear whatever absurd justification they come up with to excuse this away. And for all the Trump isn't a racist talk, here's a question. If he's not a white supremacist, why is he making it easier for them to prosper? Here's what's not in that story. What's the total number of these incidents? 1? 20? 1,000? 5,000?
I say 10.
10, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Well, we know he's emboldening white supremacists, so what? It's obviously not a national scourge that's overcoming the country, so unfortunately there are criminals of all types and slants and, leanings and ideologies. I'm sure the president didn't invent white supremacy. He just enhances it.
So you think that's what he's doing, huh?
Well, it's obvious. It's plainly obvious to everyone, even individuals, folks other than yourself who look at things objective, know that these individuals are emboldened by this, but they have a right to exist, too, is the argument. I mean, if you wish to be a racist, which you are not, but if you wanted to be, you could be, that's perfectly legal.
So did Barack Obama embolden liberals?
He emboldened love, peace, really sharing, and hope.
I see. Well, that's the party
you
line.
You just didn't get it.
I guess I didn't. I must have been lost there. Look, I think President Obama was a good man. I think he tried to do what he thought was best for the country, and I concede the same thing for President Trump. I don't like the way the guy talks. I don't like the way some of the things he says. But I think his heart's in the right place, and I think he is honestly hurt when people call him a racist. I don't think he thinks he's a racist.
Right. He doesn't. He may think he's a racist. Well, he acts that way and talks that way.
But he may not know it.
You're right.
If you criticize a person of color, are you racist? I mean, that seems to be where we are in this country today, that if you say anything about someone who is brown or black that they don't like, you're a racist. Am I allowed to criticize a person of color for their political beliefs or for their, something about them without me being a racist? Or does that just automatically make me a racist?
We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Thank
you. Not answering me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. You're going directly on the air. You're on the mark. Good morning. All right. Oh, I bet we don't have the control up. Hold on. We'll get young Matt in here, and we'll get him to make that happen. But so what are you really saying? Tell me, why are you asking me that, I guess, is the better question.
You say he's emboldens white supremacists. Okay, well, he says some things I don't like in that regard, but I don't know that he's particularly set out to embolden anyone. If he agrees, if he thinks that some of their positions are correct, does that automatically make him a racist because some of their positions are racist? If I say to you, for example, this latest thing that he wants to change the green card laws, this morning on CNN, I watched New Day, at the start of the program, they had a panel of four people of color, and ironically, the two hosts were white, and the four people of color just went on and on about how racist this is.
Well, does it carve out a particular race like the Muslim ban or religion in that case?
It says the Trump administration announced sweeping rule changes on Monday to make it harder for immigrants using or deemed likely to use public benefits.
Right, we're familiar
with
this
story. Such as food stamps, housing vouchers, of Medicare. Is that an unreasonable thing? In other words, if you want a green card in this country, you say you want to work here, do we give you one if you're going to be a drain on our society and take benefits away or take money away from other people? There's a finite pool of money for these benefits. Does that make you a racist? Well, according to the panel on CNN, it makes Donald Trump a racist.
Well, I think it makes him
a practical person in terms of saying we want to let people into this country, yes, but we don't want to let people into the country who are going to drain the country.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, although Mr. Matt Catrillo's exited the studio. So keep on ringing. There's a call coming through. Stand by. We'll try to get that on the air as soon as possible. 1-800-795-9565. I don't think it automatically makes the president a racist. We know that he is, so that we can certainly stipulate that. But I'm not
stipulating that. I don't think he thinks he's a racist.
Well, that you he might not think he is. Well, that's perfectly okay. I might not think that I'm
a white man, ignorant
whippersnapper across from you, but I bet you think I am.
No, I don't. I think, I understand the people who say they think Donald Trump is a racist, and I understand that he has given them fuel to feel that way. But I don't believe, I think some of the things he's done, he has tried to help all people. I think he's tried to help Americans, whether they're white, black, Hispanic. And his policies have helped many Americans. More people, I think, are better off today than they were two years ago.
Well, and I'm not sure that this policy change is necessarily racist. I understand that your panel said that they were, but this
not
would
apply. My panel, CNN's.
Right,
panel.
Okay, but this would apply to an Italian immigrant. As well, would it not?
I mean, yes, it doesn't. It would apply to all immigrants.
Obviously, most legal immigrants today are Hispanic, but that doesn't mean that it would necessarily apply to all of them.
You know, they say it was emblematic of the administration's year-long efforts to erect additional bureaucracies and hurdles in the U.S. immigration process. But, you know, I looked it up. My wife was kind enough to send it to me, a whole history of immigration laws in this country from the very first on up to the most recent. And I think looking at those laws, it seems to me that what the president's trying to do is enforce the laws that were on the books written by both Republicans and Democrats over a period of years. You know, and everybody says, oh, he's putting children in cages. Well, who built the cages? Barack Obama. Who was called deporter-in-chief?
Yeah, but who changed laws so that it became millions of individuals in these cages, not just a few?
Millions? Trump. I don't think there were millions
of hundreds of thousands. Yeah, not millions. All right, we'll continue this discussion, and we have some emails and texts that relate to this, and hopefully we'll be able to get some callers on here. We have a temporary vacancy in the producer's chair, but hopefully we'll get that situated. Joe. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Feel free to contact us during the 9 a.m. hour. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. His honor is the mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's chair of the CSVT Task Force. He's the head of Global Tsunami Response for the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters. He's in the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He's formerly the head of PEMA's Emergency Alert System and is... partially true? Half true?
No, that was true.
Okay. Vice president of the State Mayors Association?
That's true.
And soon will be president of the state.
No, I have no desire to be president. We have a great president.
No one said you wanted to be president.
And I don't want to. I'm happy with the guy that is president.
Okay. So it's going to be a couple of years.
This is the epitome of my career.
And he is a spry 76 years old, having celebrated his birthday within the past month, and is hardly what one would call elderly. Spry.
Yeah, well, Sonny, I can get around. I'm taking nourishment. Spry.
You're taking nourishment. Yeah, but you take your nourishment in a bottle that is mixed full of all nutrients and like a chocolate liquid.
Give me that good Ensure stuff. Yep,
there
sir.
You go. That's what it's called. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Now we got open phones. I got everything squared away so we can take your call. We would just love to hear from you. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. A dozen volunteer fire crews from Northumberland and Schuylkill counties still at the scene of a two-alarm house fire in Mount Carmel. Northumberland County Communications says the fire was first reported around 6 a.m. at a home in the 400 block of North Walnut Street. There were two homes involved. There were no reports from injuries there, but only the initial details are out yet, so we will keep you posted about that. There is some national attention on focusing on a former Valley family after the death of one of their family members. 27-year-old Josh Wilkerson of Virginia died after sampling an inexpensive form of insulin rather than the costly version that he could no longer afford. His mother, Erin Wilson Weaver, a graduate from Shikellamy, says that it was a very difficult situation that the family couldn't afford the more expensive insulin.
The stress was incredible. He felt very bad that he was not able to be normal and just support his family.
The Wilkerson, who was born in Danville, first faced $1,200 monthly copays for his insulin when he turns 26 and was unable to do so on a recommendation. He tried a less expensive form that was not recommended, and he later died. The Republican candidate for next week's special election in the 85th District, David Rowe, recently was on WKOK's On the Mark program, talking about, among other things, he will not take the state pension.
It's unsustainable as it stands. In East Buffalo Township, where I was a supervisor, the employees were shifted from a pension fund to a 401k match type system. I've already committed to refusing the state-funded pension as a representative. I think representatives need to lead by example.
Rowe said, as a government, as a person in business, he thinks government should run like a business, and he would take some of his business ideals to Harrisburg. You can hear all three of the candidates for the 85th District special election August 20th on WKOK's podcast page, and we've invited all three back to discuss these important issues with each other. And President Donald Trump today will showcase the growing effort to capitalize on Western Pennsylvania's natural gas deposits by turning natural gas into plastics. Trump is trying to hold on to the manufacturing towns that helped him win the White House in 2016, so he brings his campaign to Pennsylvania. He'll visit Monaca, Pennsylvania, and tour Shell's soon-to-be-completed Pennsylvania Petrochemicals cracker plant. Cracking is something you do to ethane to turn it into plastics. AP reports the facility is being built in an area hungry for investment and will convert ethane to 1.6 million tons of polyethylene plastic per year. The trip is Trump's latest effort to highlight the burning of dirty fossil fuels in defiance of increasingly urgent warnings on climate change and an embrace of plastics at a time when the world is increasingly alarmed over its ubiquity and impact.
Remember the line from Mrs. Robinson?
You're right.
Plastics.
Just one word for you.
Plastics.
Right. As he was looking, was that when he was on the deck during like a cocktail party or something, right?
I think so. Either
outside
that or sitting on a bed. I'm trying to remember.
No, that's another scene
that's another
altogether.
Scene, okay.
That's a different scene. But, yeah, plastic. They found plastics in the Marianas Trench. So we've now covered the world with tiny bits of plastic everywhere.
Well, and there's a huge pile of seaweed headed for the coast, too.
Is there?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, it was a big story the other day.
A little bit less concerned
about
that.
They're moving it with shovels.
Are they?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's part of your theory. Somehow, you've got to
work
it in
there.
Well,
it's probably an algae. It's probably algae. Probably an algae.
No, they
bloom.
Said it was seaweed.
Well, it's probably part of a bloom.
Okay.
That created by the sediment in the water, shadows the water.
And
the
warming temperatures, no doubt.
I don't think so. Blooms have been happening for quite a while.
Oh, okay. Are we done with the news?
Well, unless you want to know more about, let's see, Bill Cosby's legal case.
Couldn't care less.
Okay.
One of our texters asks EB what his source is for that 100% of all, what is it, acts of terrorism committed, racial terrorism, I guess it was, by white supremacists. But wouldn't that be inherently true? You know, who else would commit racial atrocities other than people who are racists?
Mm. Well, but white supremacists aren't all racists. I mean, we have other forms of racism.
Oh, well, the president said that, and he got into trouble for saying it, that there might be some nice people there.
Wait. You're talking about Mexico.
Charlottesville.
There's some nice people on both sides. No, I'm not saying, all white supremacists aren't terrorists. That's obvious. I mean, you can hold those beliefs and enjoy them for some tragic reason and not be a terrorist. You could just grumble a lot about all these things, of us do.
Another writer says, Mark, where is proof that Trump is a racist?
Proof? Oh, yeah. It's in all of his actions and his words.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's separate the two. What has he done to harm American citizens of color?
American citizens. I'd have to think about that. American citizens of color. Well, I think just making them part of the hated race.
How's he done that?
Well, the things he said to the congresswomen of color make it clear that he doesn't like them.
Positions. He was talking about their positions, not their color or their race or their religion.
So let's leave that as an I don't know. But how about this? Suppose you're an 8-year-old and you know your president hates people of color. How soothing is that to know if you're an American and you happen to be a person of color? You like that idea, knowing that children grow up knowing that about their president?
I think he's done things to help Americans, all Americans. I think that's what most people who support him believe he's done.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Caller, you're going right on the radio. Thank you so much for checking in. Good morning.
Hello.
Yep, you're right on the radio. Good morning.
I know, but it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
Oh, okay. All right. You can hear me now?
You betcha.
We heard
betcha.
You the first time.
No,
oh,
we did
good.
Not
okay.
hear him the
All
first
right.
time.
All right. Why, insofar like our president being a racist, if you check the awful stuff that's been done and called racist or whatever, you'll find it was against Jews. Okay? Now, we have never had a more pro-Jewish president. Never. And I think that if you're going to blame him for his pro-Jewish stance for attacks on Jews, I'd say that is quite valid, don't you think?
He does attacks on Jews?
No, you're missing his point.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been clicking and clacking.
Exactly
away.
The opposite. He's saying the president has been anything but anti-Semitic.
Okay.
Right. And that certainly would anger the racist and anti-Semites out there, would it not?
And the white supremacists who believe that the Jews are just as big a problem as people of color, and they don't like Catholics much either.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, if you're talking the skinheads, the Nazis that they are going after, why, the cornerstone is the hatred of the Jews.
Okay.
Simply because...
Well, I didn't say he was a neo-Nazi or a skinhead or anything like that. He really, as near as I can tell, he only dislikes Muslims and Hispanics and whatever the people of color are that were four horsemen.
Well, then how come they're blaming the anti-Jewish sentiment on him? Because if you're going to take a look at the things that were done that you could say, you know, were racist hate mongers, it's against Jews.
Okay.
Well, when his son-in-law is Jewish.
I'm not familiar with the president creating any hardships for Jewish people, but I don't know everything in the world, as Lance would be more than happy to point out, given an open mic.
Well, also, how about moving our embassy to Jerusalem? I mean, man, that would fire him up like he can't believe.
Well, that was controversial, but I'm not sure it was exclusively bad. Some people have liked it, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Also, on your, the news at 9 o'clock, they were talking about a university in Britain that had removed beef from their menu, you know, to save the world from, you know, the global warming and all that. And because in 12 years, you know, we're all going to expire. And I think back to 1970 when I was one of those whacked out greenies. And we believed that by the year 2000, you wouldn't be able to grow corn north of the Mason-Dixon line. And that's the truth. We really did. At the rate things were cooling off, why, it was horrible. The natural warming cycle of the Earth had been interrupted, and we were scared because of all the carbon in the air.
So our planet is not getting warmer.
Well, it is, absolutely. This is I've often said that. From 1850, it started to get warm because of the natural warming cycle and cooling of the Earth. We can trace it, and my chemistry teacher and my science teacher, they were corresponding with folks who were monitoring this whole thing. And that was from 950 to 1350. It was really warm. We had the same kind of mass migrations that are going to be going on here. We had all kinds of pestilences. We had all kinds of things like that going on. And then 1350, it started to cool off. And by, about 1600, it was so cold that the Thames was frozen, freezing to the bottom. And then, here we go. It gets to 1850. She starts warming up again. And we're going to have the same thing going on around the Earth as what went on 1,000 years ago.
So it's all, this is just cyclical, and that's all there is to it.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
That's the way
gotcha.
It looks.
I'm not going to argue with you.
You don't believe him, but you're not going to argue.
Well, he's mistaken, but that's all right. That is the beauty of the U.S. There's good people on both sides of this argument.
Okay, well, and how about the Time magazine then in 1974, where they talked about how the Earth was getting so much colder and colder and colder.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would
say...
Well,
what about that?
I think it would be safe to say that something has happened since then, and the Earth is getting warmer and warmer, and it's man-made warmth. There may be certainly an element of natural cycle to it, but it's obvious to many, many other people that man is influencing this and accelerating it. But you do not have to believe it, Lance. You'll be long gone before the harmful effects are really affect our grandchildren.
It's supposed to be 10 years.
Look, I'm not saying that we don't have some on it, that we may be exacerbating the whole deal, but the fact that it's man-caused entirely is farcical.
Oh, I don't think anybody says it's man and only man. I think scientists recognize that these things seem to cycle, and they have a
You haven't heard our
sort of a balance.
Well, you talk of the those noisy horsewomen of the apocalypse. That isn't the case at all.
Oh, you must be racist. You insulted them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right.
What I'm asking you to do is to look into those racially motivated hate crimes you're talking about and see who they were against.
I don't know anything at all whatsoever about any of them. Do you, Joe?
Well, that was E.B.'s writing, and I saw two liberal publications that echoed that same thing, that 100% of all the race-inspired attacks were from...
What are these incidents? We don't know that.
No, and we don't know the total number, and we don't know how serious they were.
Yeah, so,
but his point,
I
think,
do a little research and just find out if I'm full of beans or not.
But the point is that our writer was trying to make is that apparently he believes that the president has rescinded some rules or regulations, or done something that make it easier for them to do that type of thing.
That is true.
Well, what specifically did he do?
I don't know.
Okay.
All I saw is
you have a lot of firm opinions of which you have no reason for.
I scanned the Fox headlines that you sent today, and when I clicked on Fox, that's one of their top headlines, is president criticized for rule changes that people say white supremacists will make it harder for them. But I did not click on it. I just assumed everything the president was doing makes it easier for white supremacists. So
I can see you're being fair and balanced.
Seemed like news. All right, Lance, thank you so much for checking in. Appreciate it. We'll get that climate research done. Send us clippings and anything else you want to, and we'll look them over.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Lance, our good caller. We'll take a quick break. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have one individual who sends us something that the subject is working other positions. Another one is Trump-Obama, and a couple of texts here that relates to guns, and an email that relates to guns and common sense changes in gun laws that would make gun owners nervous. So we'll be talking about those shortly. 1-800-795-9565.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back. At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires E3119. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
They're on. We're just being overwhelmed.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear any. I couldn't hear you in my headphones.
Our fabulous producer is there, so we appreciate him coming in and helping us out. Read that on the radio, please.
All right. Bob says, good morning. It goes to show President Trump cares less about our country by his assault on the Endangered Species Act. He places special interests above public interest, ignoring the need to protect endangered and threatened species. He needs to go in 2020.
You are so, right, Bob. You could not be more right.
He's an anti-species racist.
Yeah, that's his, that's it. That's him
well,
in a nutshell.
He certainly is.
He has some deficits.
He's going downhill fast here, isn't he?
Let's see. What are you? Okay, so this is the same email. Read that out loud, please.
Okay, this is from one
from
of
the
writers.
Smartest woman in the world.
It says, within the Federal Bureau of Prisons, it's a well-known rule that when something happens in the institution, we are correctional workers first, regardless of what the staff member's position normally is. If assigned, the staff member would have to work whatever position or shift assigned to include suicide watch. I find it amusing that Attorney General Barr is seemingly shocked by this. Women and men staff members have to work cell blocks any one of three shifts, work the tower, segregation unit, walk during heavy fog around the perimeter, or routinely stand mainline in the food service department as an example. This has been going on for many, many years. This occurs if there are shortages of workers due to the many reasons, including vacations, illness, or shortages of staff. I believe most of you have read in the paper over the years a plea by the union for additional staffing, so it should be no shock that obviously someone in each institution must fill in an assignment. The Congress we have now will just not comply with each other and fulfill these types of needs. Extra monies have to be appropriated to accommodate such requests. So now, as usual, it takes a shocking situation to have someone take a look at procedures such as this and do something to alleviate it. I think she's talking about Mr. Epstein's
suicide. I didn't get that until the last sentence. All right. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Nice email. Well, yeah, we know they're short-staffed. And it has deadly consequences.
Well, it turned out that one of the people who was assigned to watch him wasn't even a guard. They apparently were filling in without having all the training that the regular prison guards get.
Wait, so what do we know about that? We know Mr. Epstein had not been checked every half hour, which was
apparently
normal
for several
protocol.
Hours he hadn't been checked.
Right, and we know the individual watching him was not a trained correctional officer.
Well, one of the two wasn't. One was.
Okay.
One
one was. Okay, so that seems all right. And he was taken off a suicide watch after a recent apparent suicide attempt. I don't think we ever really got definitive word
on
that.
They don't even know whether it was a suicide attempt or whether he was assaulted. I can't believe they don't even know that. And they also suspiciously transferred his cellmate out. Everyone who's on suicide watch is supposed to have a cellmate. They transferred his cellmate out without any particular reason being known.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Transferred to another facility? Well, they dropped the ball.
I don't know what they did with him, whether they moved him to another cell or just moved him into another prison. But still, this comes across as being pretty suspicious. You know, how many people are just happy because this guy's dead? Although the Attorney General has said that it doesn't matter, they're going after them. But it's going to be a lot harder to find out who they are without this guy alive and cooperating.
Yeah, we posted a story this morning that individuals with civil suits will have increased zeal to go after the estate now. Because without him to deny allegations, that can help you in a civil suit where you don't have an opportunity often to defend yourself, or even if you do, may not take it. And in this case, they'll sue the estate, said this did happen and I've suffered this much, so please give me my check.
So who will defend this?
The estate will have to hire attorneys to defend the estate.
No, I mean, what person will defend it? What person will come forward and say, he didn't do this, or this is not consistent?
I don't think you would get that kind of a defense. I don't think you would need to. They would, in this case, the sewer would have the burden of proof to prove that they did have some contact with him and that it was, you know,
so I'd say
intimate
and
inappropriate.
That makes it even harder for them, I would think. With
well,
him
may.
Alive, they
right.
could
it
relate
may.
Individual experiences, and that he would have to account for his very where he was on a particular day and time.
Well, they
to the
simply
best of his memory.
I think the gist of the article is that more individuals may come forward who might not have been thinking about it because they didn't want to have a big fight with Jeffrey Epstein, but now maybe with the estate, it might seem a little bit more doable.
Well, who stands to inherit the estate? He isn't married, right? He doesn't
I
have children.
I do not know. He's a brother. That's been talked about, but beyond that, I don't know. No wife, right?
I understand they served a search warrant on his private island, Little St. Thomas or whatever it's called.
Right, Little Lolita Island, they call it.
Lolita Island, okay.
Well, that's the sort of the de facto name, because that's where a lot of the teen girls were taken, they said.
Okay, so obviously he has some serious assets that can be disposed of.
Well, and one of the Facebook commenters says, and President Clinton was never at Lolita Island.
Right? How do they know?
I do not know. And I'm assuming President Trump was not there either.
Well, I think President Clinton spent more time with him than President Trump.
I think that seems to be a consensus, yeah.
But that doesn't mean they did anything wrong, so let's be positive about that.
And we know Mr. Clinton is a morally upstanding individual who only behaves appropriately.
And we know that the president has tweeted out someone else's conspiracy theory that the Clintons were behind his murder.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's how you know your president is just a, you know, just a street level bully like everybody else. He sees a good conspiracy theory that, you know, he seems to like, and so he retweets it just like anyone else would. Who cares if he's the leader of the free world?
Well, do you retweet things?
Oh, once in a long while. It has to be something with real compelling, verifiable, you know, compelling interest, verifiable truth, and super broad appeal in things that we talk about.
I'm not a Twitter user, so let's say you retweet something. Does it come across as being from you or from the person who originally tweeted?
It means you generally agree with what's being said.
Okay, but it does show your name in addition to the person who
originally
wrote it.
It says Donald Trump, at Donald Trump, the real Donald Trump, or whatever, however he has it worded. And then underneath that, it says retweeted, and then it has, you know,
the original tweeter's name.
Yeah, the woman's name and the accusation that the Clintons were behind it and that kind of thing.
Okay, so is it against the law to retweet?
Absolutely not. No, it's just inappropriate for a president. But then again,
well, what if someone
he's
wrote
Donald
a,
Trump.
What if
so
someone wrote a beautiful poem on Twitter in 160 words and then the president retweeted it? Would that be wrong?
Well, then we know his account was hacked.
Because he would only tweet bad things.
Well, he only tweets politically oriented things I know of. I don't read all of them. He tweets a couple hundred times a day. I mean, it's his past.
Well,
it's his
hobby.
Well,
if I could do one thing to the president, I would take his cell phone away.
Smartphone.
Smartphone.
Yeah, and he says he does it on the pot, so.
Some of the things he tweets sounds like that's where he's
sitting. That's where they came from.
And that he's distributing the commodity that's usually produced there.
One of our good listeners, Bob, sends us a note.
Bob says, good morning. The reason no one said Obama was responsible for mass shootings when he was in office is because Obama never said the racist things Donald Trump says. Obama was a great president, and America needs another great president, not the lawless liar, racist, and stupid clown we have now in the White House. The tweets like send an American back to where she came from, etc., American-born, by the way, racist remarks from Trump. The hate he delivers daily. Russia, if you are listening, send us Hillary Clinton's emails. Lock her up. Which, by the way, she went and answered for them and was found, I think innocent is the word he's looking
that's
for.
That's what I'm
found
saying.
Found innocent?
Yeah,
yes,
in the context.
Innocent. But it's an unusual way to spell it. She was never the president. He loves to call other people names that hurt. He has ICE take 700 law-abiding Latinos. When he is going to Texas, where Latinos were mass murdered, the lawsuits he is challenging against him, Democrats are starting his impeachment. Democrats are coming back early for these gun laws, and the Republicans are owned by the NRA and will not approve the gun bill that has been sitting on Moscow Mitch's desk since early this spring. If it had passed, maybe, just maybe, one life would have been saved. When he leaves in 2021, there is a jail cell waiting for him on Rikers Island. One can only hope. God help the USA and make us the great country we were once again. Go back to that. No, you took that off,
dear.
And I wanted to see something about it.
Sorry, and I probably deleted it from the thing. Talk about something else for a minute. Is this it?
No, that's not it.
All right. So,
well, you destroyed it.
It'll
completely
come up. Hold on. This is all the junk you do not have to read.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Where is it?
You destroyed it.
I did not. I deleted it. It still has to be here.
You would think.
Oh, there,
oh, there
it was.
You went past it.
There,
okay.
That's from Friday.
That's from Friday.
We should probably
say.
And the president has been more of all of these things ever since then.
I was looking. Oh, he says he's going to Texas where Latinos were mass murdered. They weren't the only people the guy killed. He was targeting them. But what about the guy in Detroit? You know, we forget about that one at all. That turned out to be someone who supported a Democratic liberal candidate. I think that one of our writers, Stan, makes the point that the gun and the person behind it is the problem, not the weapon itself. So I don't know where he's coming from with this. But you look at the president's actions. He does not speak ill of people who are American citizens, no matter what their color is. Yes, he argues positions with people like he calls the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But isn't that fair? They argue positions with him. They don't like the things he says and does. He doesn't like the things they say or do. Isn't that part of what we have here in America, the give and take of our political process?
Free speech. But I think people used to expect our president to show some decorum or diplomacy or to at least be an adult. But that's fine. You know, half the country voted for him and wanted him as president. He's none of those things. He is who he is, and they want him president anyway. They overlook all these, you know, shortcomings because he's doing the things that he's doing. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with all of that.
But you still haven't told me how he's harmed American citizens of color.
Oh, okay. Well, those four, he kind of singled them out. I think a lot of it may boil down to what I had talked about, you know, this idea that if you are a child of color in this country and a legal citizen, since he seems to dislike immigrants in particular, but
what kind of immigrants in particular?
So let's suppose you're
undocumented immigrants or illegal immigrants. He doesn't say anything bad about people coming to this country legally.
Well, look at the changes that we talked about earlier. The changes that if you need to rely on any dependency to as you continue to get started in the U.S., that would hurt you and that you'll stand a greater chance potentially of being sent back. There's a lot of discretion here, so it's not a definitive thing.
Is that unreasonable?
No, I don't think it's unreasonable. As I said before, all of these things are sort of codified within these welfare laws. It may be an exhibit, but it's certainly not proof. It's more, I think it could be go into the evidence pile. But we don't need any evidence that the president is a racist. We have plenty of proof.
Well,
so
you
you don't. But see, you just...
I think I understand he's given people ammunition to believe that. I don't dispute that at all.
Thank you.
I don't dispute that at all. And if I could shut the man's mouth up for a few days...
And take away his cell phone.
And take away his cell phone.
And just lead.
I would do it. But on the other hand, you know, I think he has tried to put America first. He's tried to help Americans first. He's focused on the inner city problems of places like Baltimore. Now, he's talked about them. Is he going to do something about them?
No.
Is he going to put his money where his mouth is?
Well, he may. He'll probably get six years from now to do it. So something would have to improve there. We have an addition to our email. Joe, go
right
ahead.
It says, oh, no, Joe, not to be misunderstood, all staff, regardless of what position they are hired for, are trained in all aspects of being a correctional worker. We have an extensive training in Glencoe, Georgia. Upon hiring and annually, each institution conducts refresh training on all aspects of working in a facility to include suicide watch. So don't think the worker was not trained in what he or she was expected to do.
Yeah, we know that
to
be true.
I'm reporting what the news media reported this morning, that the person was not fully trained.
Okay.
So maybe they were filling in. What I heard was they were filling in the position for which they were not completely trained. Right. Now, that may or may not be true. And we have a whole pile of texts you went by, too.
Well, yeah, let's get back to that. Let's get our callers going. Callers, stand by. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years.
75 months.
Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires C31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Is our telephone number. We told you about a fire in Mount Carmel. We'll have more about that coming up in the news, and we'll post more at WKOK.com shortly. And we do have one update from the newsroom. This is the beauty of having our producer be Matt Cotrillo. He says, one fire update, one firefighter suffered a minor injury. No one else hurt. At least two people left homeless by a fire in Mount Carmel. Two alarm fire, two homes damaged initially, maybe others. And we'll keep you posted about that massive response. Dozens of fire companies converged on the scene of that blaze. Dale, you are OTM. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, with all this chaos going on, you know, Fox and CNN are basically telling people to follow their script, which is based off same thing as greed and power. So I just want to say, you know, when the hominid species evolved as humans, we were given scripts to where we can culture Earth and live amongst each other. But today, we have Fox and CNN, and that's why society's self-destructing. So if, I think if we, you know, outlaw Fox and CNN and start, you know, focusing on other cultures, I think we can live better. You know, I mean, if you look at the last 2 years,
what about
the rhetoric and
what about MSNBC
and the chaos?
Should we get rid of MSNBC also?
Well, all of them. I mean,
all
you know.
Of them. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, basically today, a lot of people, even our candidates, are all living off the script, which is fed through CNN and CNN.
Gotcha.
I think, you know, we are not evolving as a species.
Mm-hmm. What
like
script
I said,
is
the hominin species, when they first became humans, they were given scripts and how to culture Earth and live amongst each other. But
what? I lost my.
I think we short-circuited somewhere.
Come on, Joe.
I lost my script,
Joe.
Dale. What does it say? I've lost
it. It just shows us how to be good stewards of Earth and all like that. Today, the premise of CNN and Fox is based on power and greed and what other people think. It's just echoing negativity. And I say if we cut them off for 2 years just for a trial basis, I think society in itself would heal. But, I mean, like I said, I can only take care of myself and try to keep my thoughts to myself, but I just say, you know, we're self-destructive.
All right. Noted. Yep. Thank you so much, Dale. Yep. Appreciate the update.
Lost my script.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, come on, Joe.
I know. I got to get with it. All right. Dan, you're on the mark.
Are you okay?
Hey. Good morning, guys. Well, you know, about 20 years ago, Bernie Goldberg wrote a book called Bias. He worked CBS. He worked with all the big people on there, like Dan Rather. And he talked about bias in the media. And he brought up the point in his book, every time there's a Republican in the White House, the other side, which he worked for CBS, they bring out racism and play the race card maybe double or triple what they did as when a Democrat's president. And under our current president, I don't want to sound like an extremist, but they play the race card of late more than five times what they did under Obama. And maybe more, because they don't like the agenda of our current president. He's hated by the media. And by the way, back when Goldberg wrote the book, the media, the left-wing media, still wasn't married to the Democratic Party officially. They were sort of engaged, but they weren't married. Now they're 100% married to the left-wing party, the left-wing Democrats. They're all married together.
Hey, Dan, let's be fair. A lot of people accuse President Obama of playing the race card a lot, and they were Republicans accusing him of that.
Right. Well, you can see, but it wasn't used against him. It was used in his favor, how wonderful he is.
No, I think it was used. I think it was used against him. I think people were claiming that he was playing the race card, and I think in some instances he did, and in some instances Donald Trump does too. But I don't think either man is a racist.
and I don't either. I don't think either of them was, but the left wing media, as you can tell, uses the race card against Trump, that he's a racist. They used it more in favor of Obama, that he, this great black leader, is bringing us together, which it didn't ever happen. We, in fact, there's more division right now, even after the Obama presidency. So I can see that Bernie Goldberg was right. In his day, back in that time, the Republican Party wasn't that far from the Democratic Party when he wrote that book. Right now, there's a big difference. When you go out to vote this next election, you're going to be, there's the biggest difference. You're either going to vote for free enterprise, capitalism at work, or you're going to vote for socialism and government control over your whole life. That's the choices you're going to have in the next election, which in my lifetime, most of the time, I was voting for mediocrity. And I know Joe Reagan was different. I agree there. But most of the time, we were voting for mediocrity. Now that we have a true choice, the media is playing up the race card. They can't get Trump impeached. They know it's impossible to impeach him. What has he done wrong, really, to be impeachable offense? So they play the race card in order to get people that aren't informed to believe that he is a racist, so they won't vote for him.
Do you think the media has convinced anybody that the president is a racist? I mean, you either believe it, like you do not believe it, and I do believe it, but I don't need the media to tell me. I just, you know, look at the president's Twitter feeds, or, you know, his comment about the four congresswomen, or the NFL players, or Mexicans, or whoever.
You can't say that was racist. It's like Joe said, it don't matter if I would take a knee at a football game. I'm white. He'd condemn me the same. He'd say that's not the proper thing to do in America. It's not the color or the race. It's what you do as a person that Trump comes up and calls you out on.
Right,
it's
like
not
him.
Race. And, oh, yes, I think the low information voters and the ones that hate Trump are going to believe that race line, and they're going to keep playing it right up to the election.
Okay.
Because they don't want Trump in there, and there's an agenda at work, and it's bigger. This is the largest difference in my lifetime that I could see. Anybody can see the difference. And by the way, if it wasn't for...
We have to move on. Go ahead and wrap up.
Yep. If it wasn't for Fox News right now, I believe more people would be gullible enough to fall for this racism. Fox News is the only place anymore. Fox Radio, as you people have on WMLP, is the only place where people are getting any semblance of truth.
Or conservative information, conservative slant. Right. All right, we got you.
So
thank you so much.
You guys have a great one. Good talking
take
with
care.
You.
Good to chit-chat with you. One text, Joe, and then we'll take the break.
Guy says, read the tweets, Mark. He never singled out anyone except progressive Democrats, and the four fools step forward to say, oh, my, he's talking about us and is racist. Look at their statements. They're the racists and anti-Semites.
All right, so they're both equally terrible. I will stipulate that. No argument there. All right, we'll take a quickie break, or we shall return. We got a caller standing by, and we got some more texts and tweets and emails, so we'll be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see ya in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In fact, your
interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months! Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires C31-19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Yeah, somehow it doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence that cover-up Barr is looking to investigate the Epstein suicide. And he's also pushing the blame immediately down the line. Well, he's... How so what? That he's cover-up Barr?
How's he pushing it down the line? I mean, I thought he was saying... That, you know, he's told the people who are co-conspirators, you know, don't rest easy. We're coming after you. So who's he pushing it?
Yeah, but he's trying to get it down to the individual guard who was on. Or non-guard who was on, I guess.
I didn't get that.
Some kind of technical meaning in the lexicon of prisons.
I really didn't get that feeling. So what gave it to you? I thought
he should have recused himself from the Epstein case completely, probably, because his father gave non-degree holding Epstein his job at a private high school in New York City. And that might besmirch his father's reputation, which I'm sure he's concerned about. But as far as pushing it down the line, he said very specific things with hardly a full investigation yet. And he seemed very reticent to make statements blaming people without the investigation being fully operative in a lot of other cases. Okay. So he's already directing attention to particular things.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's doing that as a distraction so we don't look at the real issue. Whatever that is. Well, it's obvious. I think he can make some definitive statements. You know, the correctional officers were in charge. They're supposed to do several checks and he didn't.
Elected two. And just instead of just announcing his investigation and then reporting when he had more than, 24 hours to find out what was going on, you know, that the first 24 hours, all sorts of things get reported that aren't quite the full story.
True enough.
Right. Oh, yeah, baby. Look at the news media clamoring over incidents. All right, we got 30 seconds.
Trump has a long history of racism that goes back from his father to him to running the black people in the apartments to paying fines for it to the birther stuff, which most people considered racist.
To the NFL comments.
His comments on the Hispanic judge that was hearing one of his cases.
Mm-hmm. Black reporters, he treats them differently.
Yes, and he likes boxers and entertainers for black people.
I think we can stipulate
he's
a racist. Their
boys job. Having a good time, I can tell.
Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call.
You're wrong, but you're having a good time.
See you tomorrow. We'll take up where we left up tomorrow. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.